Short sermon number 10. This one will be called Salvation in Three Tenses. The sermons that I'm doing, which we call short sermons, will be more or less short compared, of course, to our Sunday messages and teachings. They will not always be accompanied by notes, written notes, and so the emphasis will be mostly on the hearing. Part of the reason I do this is because there will be an element of spontaneity in many of these sermons, which is appropriate to the Spirit's leading and direction. Salvation is something that the Scriptures are said to make us wise about. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, told him that from a youth you knew the sacred Scriptures, which are able to make you wise regarding salvation. Now, some translations make it read that the salvation is spoken of here is the salvation that is through faith in Jesus Christ, but we should understand it more thoroughly as the faith that is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Scriptures have the ability and the power to make us wise, to wise us up with regard to the salvation that is by the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. The Scriptures themselves are inherently able to do this. Jesus chided the Sadducees in his own time because they neither knew the Scriptures nor the power of God. And this is something that we should take note of, because the Scriptures themselves have inherently in them the power of God to reveal His great salvation, salvation that we ought not to neglect as believers in Jesus Christ. So in keeping with that, being made wise with respect to the salvation that is by the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, this is the sermon for today, Salvation in Three Tenses. The main reason why the Holy Scriptures are pertinent and relevant now as they were when they were first penned is because Jesus Christ, of whom they testify, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The times of salvation, therefore, match the yesterday, today, and forever sameness of Jesus Christ. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 quotes Isaiah 49:8, and by that Paul identifies our present era, the allotted time of the church, as the day of salvation. Because Jesus Christ, who is salvation, is the same yesterday as he was yesterday, he is today. As in yesterday, in him God reconciled the world to himself. Jesus Christ today is the same Jesus Christ, our Savior, who yesterday God reconciled the world to himself by. When, while we were still enemies, we were reconciled through his death, says Romans 5:10, in whom God reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, says 2 Corinthians 5:19. Now is the day of salvation, because having been reconciled yesterday in Jesus Christ's death, we are now reconciled and being saved by his life, as it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, saved by his incorruptible resurrection life, saved then in his death yesterday, saved now throughout our allotted time on earth by his life. Jesus Christ, in whom God reconciled the world to himself yesterday, is the same today as he bears the marks in his flesh of the salvation that he accomplished in the yesterday of Golgotha. And he will bear these marks when in his third coming again, every eye will see him, even those that pierced him. Jesus Christ, who endured the cross yesterday, is the same Jesus Christ today, though Jesus Christ and him crucified is now risen. As the risen Lord today, living as he does by the omnipotence of God in 2 Corinthians 13:4, and having that omnipotence himself, that almighty power, Philippians 3:20-21, he makes intercession for us in the power of an indestructible life, that is, the incorruptible living body of glory. And he does so to save us completely. Notice that, to save us completely. That is, to save us to the uttermost, as the old translations read it, Hebrews 7:16, 7:25. He saves us to the uttermost because Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today, is the same forever. He is a high priest forever, as typified in Melchizedek in Psalm 110:4, Genesis 14:18 to 20. He makes effective the salvation that he wrought while in the weakness and severe limitations of his coming and being put to death in the flesh. Jesus Christ, now made alive by and in the Holy Spirit, who has come again in resurrection from the dead, is the same Jesus who came and was obedient to the death of the cross and who experienced the awful wages of sin called death for everyone, Romans 6:23 and Hebrews 2:9. Jesus Christ, who was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit in 1 Peter 3:18, is one and the same Jesus Christ. He is the one who is raised by the Spirit in Romans 8:11. He's the same as he who was put to death in the flesh. This same Jesus Christ, who was crucified in weakness, now lives by the power of God. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 13:4, a phenomenal verse. The one who was raised from the dead by the Spirit, that is, by the Holy Spirit, is today himself a life-giving Spirit in 1 Corinthians 15:45. Jesus Christ came in the weakness of flesh to become sin for us so that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and we have, and we are, the righteousness of God in him. Our being the righteousness of God in him hinged upon him becoming sin for us. Before the cross, God could say, if Jesus Christ, my beloved Son, who knows no sin, becomes sin for the world of sinners, then I will make all the world of sinners my very righteousness in him. So the only if that can exist in 2 Corinthians 5:19, or any might, as in we might become the righteousness of God in him, as if there is an if in Jesus Christ becoming sin, and there is no if. He did become sin, and so all sinners, the world of sinners, were made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was faithful in his obedience, even to the extent of the death of the cross, remains faithful. And we live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, as Galatians 2:20 says. Because Jesus Christ came in weakness as the weakness of God, as 1 Corinthians puts it, to be made a curse for us and for every man or every person, Galatians 3:13, so that the blessing of justification and life would come to all the nations, as Galatians 3:14 puts it. And because Jesus Christ became sin for us, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, on the cross, and we became the righteousness of God in him, he was our Savior yesterday and is the same today, although now in resurrection and again coming to us in the Spirit, he now, today, has the power of God to make effective for individuals what he secured on Calvary. And it's clear that he came in the flesh yesterday, and he who did come in the flesh yesterday and who came to life by the Spirit as a first coming again, comes again a second time in the Spirit to reside with and in the church today and in each of its members. And he will come again in a third coming again, in which he will bring salvation to all the waiting creation and all of humanity in all of its times forever. It can and must be said then that all of humanity were saved in his first coming when the grace of God appeared, salvation for all humanity, Titus 2:11. Again, when God's kindness and love for humanity appeared, that is, when Christ appeared at the termini of the ages to put away sin, Titus 3:4 combined with Hebrews 9:26, God saved us, Titus 3:4 to 5a, according to his mercy. So we may say that we were saved yesterday by Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We may say first, not that God will save everybody, but that he has saved everybody. Then we may say, in this time in between, God is saving everybody, and now is the Savior of everybody, but especially those of humanity who believe on or in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Especially in 1 Timothy 4:10, meaning that those who believe already begin to experience the life of the coming age, or at least have its assurance in hope. It can then be said that God will save everybody, even from physical mortality and corruptibility, because as in the first Adam all die, so in Christ, the last Adam, all will be made alive. God has saved everyone, is saving everyone, will save everyone, because Jesus Christ, who is salvation, is the same yesterday, today, and for all the ages, that is, forever. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is Yahweh, the God of Israel, who says, I am that I am. I always was, am today, and will be forever. On the last day, in what we call the eschaton or the telos, every tongue will worshipfully and enthusiastically acknowledge that Yahweh is Jesus to the glory of God the Father, who from eternity has willed the salvation of all human beings. Isaiah 46:10, 1 Timothy 2:3 to 4. And that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 2 Peter 3:9, and that they would come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4 and Hebrews 10:26, which is none other than the knowledge of the Son of God himself, in Ephesians 4:13. This is the truth that is in Jesus, in Ephesians 4:21. Jesus, who is reality. This is the truth, which is the knowledge of the glory of God. It's the truth that you have received according to God's will. For there was a moment when you were enlightened. And Father, we do pray that you will enlighten us as to the three tenses of our so great salvation. Grant us the grace and the mercy that we never neglect this great salvation, but that we pay attention to it through your scriptures, which are able to make us wise with regard to it. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.